happiness comes and goes, but joy never does. That joy in Christ is always here, always.
Welcome to the Rock Podcast Series. Today we've got a guest speaker. It's Brian Thrasher. He's going to talk to us about having humility like Jesus.
So yeah, that video, it seems like I pick out all the workout videos. But that video really spoke to me because nowadays humility is a word, as I said, that it's a word of defeat. But it's a gift from God that can keep us grounded and can keep us level-headed and on the truth and not to stray away. Before I open up the sermon and everything, I want to share a story. And my sister, she was talking to my mom after my first sermon and was joking, well, he used everyone else in the family, but not me in the sermon illustration. So you ask, you shall receive. I thought of this story because my sister, she's very smart, very kind, but most of all, she's humble. And that's something I really looked up to. But see, all throughout high school, middle school, everywhere, she always had straight A's. She's an amazing artist. In fact, she had a lot of awards. Her art was always an art show. But through all that, she was humbled. Now, she might have bragged to me, but I mean, that's brother, sister. She's supposed to do that. But me, on the other hand, I was a little prideful. I got my BC, my 3.0, I just settled in there. But when I got an award and when I went and got achievements, I would let the whole world know. And there was a little difference. But I remember in high school, it was freshman, sophomore year, and I had to choose between art and music. And I said, well, music had a little more commitment, and well, my sister can draw, I know I could do it. So I decided to take up art. And I remember the first day of class, my art teacher came up, are you Tiffany Thrasher's brother? I said, sure am. And then she just went on and on about my sister, how awesome she is, what a great student she is. And I'm sitting there like, all right. But I remember our first project. I get it back, and Miss Doss says, how would you like to be my student assistant? And I said, was it really that bad? And then she just repeated that. But I remember that. I remembered. For me, that I was really prideful, and even in that moment, even though it wasn't like anything that really affected my life, but in everything I did, I wanted to do about myself, and even when I was helping people, I wanted to get, what can I get out of this? And I really had that prideful attitude, and all that did is hurt me with relationship. People that, trust me, were getting annoyed by it, and people in my relationship with Christ, I was putting myself before him. I wasn't allowing his plan to happen. So today we're talking about humility like Jesus. And we see that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, if you'd like to turn there, we'll be in there in a moment. But we see the humility like Jesus. And we see an attitude of Jesus. So that's what we're going to look at today. But before we do that, I would like to just do a background of the book of Philippians. So the book of Philippians is actually a prison epistle, which means it's a letter. And it was a letter written in prison. Paul wrote this letter in 62 AD when he was anticipating his release from prison. In fact, this thank you letter that he wrote to the Philippians was to thank them for continue help and support. He also encouraged them to grow. He also talks in chapter 1 about his sufferings and how through his suffering and his imprisonment that the kingdom grew. We see in chapter 1 as well, Paul writes about how we as Christians, when we surrender our lives to Christ, what we can expect. And he says we can expect suffering. And that stands out to me because it doesn't say if, it says we will. We as Christians, we will suffer. And it continues to talk about, Paul continues to say that there are two things granted by God for believers. And one is to believe in him, and the other is to suffer. So Paul makes it clear that we will suffer. In chapter 2, where we're going to be today, as we see right here, we're going to see the humility like Jesus. We're going to see the attitude of Jesus. But we'll also see in chapter 2 that we are to be a unit. We're supposed to have unity and be in one mind and one purpose as a church. And we also see later in Philippians, it talks about when we serve, not to do it with grief, not to do it grumbling, as it says. You know, I know many times, like when my mom and dad would have me mow the lawn, I would grumble all the time rather than just do it. And it's things like that. Do we just serve with joy? Do we serve out of love? And we'll see that in Philippians chapter 2. In chapter 3, Paul continues to talk about joys of a Christian and encourages the church to press forward with the gospel. What really stood out to me is in chapter 3, verse 8. And if you're taking notes, jot this down, because this verse is very, very impactful. And it says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. To me, that really, really stood out. Because as we're going to talk about later in the sermon, I struggle with the book of James at times when it says, consider pure joy when you face many trials. And I'm like, well, when I'm going through something hard, how do I find joy in that? And we're going to talk about that a little bit in the sermon. We're going to just impound on that fact. In chapter 4, we see that Paul mentioned again joy in Christ, as he encouraged believers to rejoice in the Lord. It is important for us believers to be well-grounded in prayer and thanksgiving. In fact, the word joy is mentioned 19 times in the book of Philippians. And it's a four-chapter book, so joy and encouragement is the theme, as long as we have suffering and humility. Those are the theme of the book of Philippians. It's an encouragement book to encourage us. So if you're at Philippians chapter 2, we'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 11. It says, is there any encouragement from becoming or belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tendered and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to have your hand on this service and that you would just speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would just have every heart and every mind and ears open, that you would just be able to have your hand on everyone and be with us the rest of this service and the rest of this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to get right into our points. And as we do the points, we're going to be covering these verses 1 through 11. Our first point, if you're taking notes, we must humble ourselves just as Jesus humbled himself. And we see that Jesus humbled and emptied himself. Jesus gave it all. He put aside his divine privileges for us. He submitted his will for God's will. We must humble ourselves just as he did. We need to surrender our life to him. And we need to humble and give everything. I was going across and I came across this quote. And it said, there has never been a greater humiliation of a person than that of Jesus. No one has ever descended so low because no one has ever come from so high. And that really stuck out to me, really hit me. Because when we really think about it, what he showed us was the greatest and truest form of, and the best illustration of humility, that he was willing to give it all up for us. But I know there's time in my life where I'm not willing to give up everything for him. You know, do we value time more than him? Do we value money more than him? Or for me, it used to be pride. I used to value myself more than him. Or is it something of this world that we just value that more than him, and we put more time in that than we do in him? I remember McKenna, my daughter, she had this toy and she was so excited to play with it, but it had to be built. Well, nowadays, you know, toys are crazy. And they have, and it says some assembly required. First of all, that's a lie. Yeah. It's a construction zone. You have to close your house down for at least 4 days, have a construction hat, you know, tape off the whole house. You can't even live in your house, technically. But I remember I was, the instruction book. That is a novel. It's about 40 chapters long, I think, now. But I remember, you know, it's like a written, unwritten rule, maybe. I don't know. But for men, we're not supposed to, you know, use instructions. We're supposed to just know everything. But I was looking at it, and I'm like, well, all right, well, let's just use it. It looks like, you know, important to know. So as I'm, you know, doing everything, everything's going good. And then I'm like, well, I don't need the instructions. You know, this goes here, this goes here. But what happened is, now I got lost, right? Now I'm like, okay, this not going, and I'm trying to force it in, and I'm like, that's not working. And then my wife Morgan came in, like, do you need help? I'm like, no. See, I don't want my daughter to have her mom to be the hero. I got to do it. You know, I don't want my daughter to know I can't build toys, which I can't. Now she knows that. So my wife does the toy building around the house. but I remember she keeps coming in and asking for if I needed help. And eventually I said, yeah. And by me saying yes, I was going to go watch the basketball game, and then she just took over. So, and 10 minutes later, we got it done. And by we, I mean my wife. So, but isn't that like life? At times, we try to take over. We try to do our steps, our plan, our direction, rather than taking his plan. You see, when I was trying to put those pieces in, I couldn't get them in. That's like life. If I'm trying to do it by myself, it's not going to work. But you see, when God does it, God can just put those pieces right in. And his plan will never, never fail us. If we let him lead us, we're not going to drift away into, you know, where things won't work or things won't go according to his plan. So we need to go to his plan. And we do that by humbling ourselves and giving everything. And when we surrender our life to Christ, it's not 99.9%. It's 100%. We give him everything. And we do that by humbling ourselves. Which leads us to our second point. We must have a he attitude, not a me attitude. We must have a he attitude, not a me attitude. As I said, I struggle with pride. In fact, if I would told people 15 years ago that I would be preaching on humility, they would probably laugh at me. But you see, God transforms hearts and he transforms lives. And I'm only here because of him. And one thing that Pastor Bill has always told me is always stay humble. And I really appreciate that word because it's true. In the good and the bad, stay humble. And in the good, especially because that could be taken away. We stay humble every day. As I was getting ready for the sermon, I came across this video on YouTube on a Bible study, and this pastor broke down with these, he called it the four S's. And I wanted to share with those with you because it talks about the attitude of Christ and how humility plays a part in that and what he was willing to do. And are we willing to do the same? And if you're taking notes, I call these the letter points, so they'll go right under point number two. And letter A would be, are you willing to sacrifice? We already talked about that a little bit, about giving up time, you know, not valuing that more than his time. And we talk about sacrifice, but we see that Jesus, he was willing to sacrifice. That he gave it all up, and he died on the cross for us. He was willing to sacrifice. Are we willing to submit? We see that God submitted His will for the Father's will, for God's will. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about family matters and submitting to God and submitting to others. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to submit, as I said earlier, our plan for His plan? So are we willing to submit? Are we willing to serve? Jesus was willing to give up His divine privileges, and He became a servant. And when He was there, He was washing people's feet. He was performing miracles. He was teaching, and He was serving. And He did that with joy. When we serve, do we just do it because we have to, or because we think we have to? Or do we do it with joy, with a joyful heart? Do we need ourselves to be served, or do we serve God and others? Do we love God and love others? Are we willing to serve? And then the last one would be, are we willing to suffer? We see that Jesus, He was willing to suffer. And He was willing to pay the price for our sins, our debt. Are we willing to suffer? We saw in chapter 1 in Philippians that Paul says that we will suffer. Are we willing to suffer? And there's a reason why I put He in front of me. You see, a lot of times we flip that around and we put me in front of He. You see, in anything that we do, rather it be, I heard one pastor say, we brush our teeth or grocery shopping. And he really said that because the point is we need to do everything for the glory of God. When we get a raise or we get an achievement in life, that's not us. That's Him. And we need to know that. We need to really reflect that what we get in this world is from Him. And it's only because He gave up everything for us. And you see, we need to be able to humble ourselves, and when we do everything, do it for the glory of God. Which leads us to our third point, which is don't be selfish. Rather, have humility that brings fellowship and joy. We see this really in verses 1 through 5, where it says, don't be selfish, be humble, treat others better than yourselves. I know me at times, and for other adults, sometimes we get hurt by others, and it's harder maybe to show encouragement to them, or we've been so hurt maybe from someone or from the church that we stray away. But you see, what it's saying here is, we are to love one another. We are to be together in fellowship as a church. And not just a church here, but worldwide. We are to love each other, be an encouragement. Pastor Bill was talking the last couple weeks about, he made a point where there's some people that aren't parents. But that doesn't mean that you don't have an influence on kids at our church, because you do. Someone right now could be going through something that you've been through. You can be an encouragement to them. You can help them through that. You can love them through that. And you see, when we're working together with one mind and one purpose, we can be an encouragement to the community. We can show them love. And when we do that together on the same mindset and as on Christ's mindset, what a glorious thing that can be. Because you see, others might not have that comfort in His love or not feel that comfort in His love. Some people might not have that encouragement in Christ, but when we show them that love and that encouragement, they can feel that. They can experience that. So we need to resemble His love. The one way I was thinking about it is my daughter and my son and kids around that age, that they just have that love, that relentless love, that innocent love. And the Bible talks about that childlike attitude where we just love. Because so many times as adults, I think we lose that sometimes because maybe we're going through something hard, but we don't realize maybe someone else is going through something a little bit harder than we are. We need to remember that. We need to put others, God first and others first, and be able to be that encouragement. Because you see, humility brings joy, which leads us to our last point, which is joy outlasts suffering. And what I mean by that is our true joy is found in Christ. And what we see that through the cross. It's joy because, you know, 3 days later, He was risen. And we have hope of eternal life. There's joy in that. And we, as I said earlier in James, we talk about, it talks about having considered pure joy when you go through trials of many kind. And I don't know about you, but that one I struggle with. How am I supposed to have joy in hard times or in suffering? And I asked my wife if I could share this, and she said it would be okay. I can't remember time frames, but we had about 3 miscarriages back to back to back. At the same time, we were trying to find a place to live, and it seemed like everything was just one thing at another, one thing at another. And I said, God, I don't understand the purpose. And I was getting frustrated at times and sometimes angry. But I knew he had a plan. I just couldn't figure it out. And that was, you know, a little frustrating. And then on top of that, I tried to fix everything. And that's one of my problems. I tried to fix everything. And through that process, I'm going through suffering and trying to fix things on the side and trying to help my wife. And she's dealing with it in a different way because she's going through it. And instead of fixing everything, what I needed to do was just love her, be an encouragement for her, and just pray and allow God to work. And I have a hard time sometimes with just allowing God to work in me. But when we allow God to work, He works. And He does wonderful things. And through this, He really just showed me that if we follow His plan, things will work. And He showed me that in the fact that right now I'm standing here in front of you because a house fell through. If we would have got this house, we went all the way down to the closing pretty much, but then they raised the offer. If we would have got that house, we would never be here. God has a plan for us. Some of you are probably going through suffering right now. Some of you are going through burdens, and it feels like they're really too big. But I want to let you know that nothing's too big for God. That God love is always there. And it's the truest love that we'll ever experience. It's the greatest love we'll ever experience. The fact that Jesus gave up everything to die on the cross for us, there's joy in that. You see, happiness comes and goes, but joy never does. That joy in Christ is always here. Always. Joy outlasts suffering. Whatever you're going through right now is temporary. That pain, that suffering that you're going through is temporary. But knowing that you have eternal life, when you give your life to Christ, there's joy in that. And nothing can take that away. No pain, no suffering. That joy is always there. So joy outlasts suffering. And the last thing I want to say as we're going to be getting ready for communion is that the truest form of humility and that illustration, that the truest and the best illustration, Jesus told us that. He was willing to give up everything to die on the cross for our sins. He shed His blood and went through the greatest shameful, and they say shameful death for us. What an amazing thing that is, and what joy we can have in that. And with that, I would just like to pray, and after that, I would ask that Pastor Bill would come up and lead us in communion, and whoever is helping serve that, would they be ready at this time? Lord, I thank You, Lord. I thank You for the humility that You displayed and illustrated for us, Lord. Lord, I would pray that You would just help us in that area, and Lord, that we would just humble ourselves, Lord, and that we would just find joy in You, Lord. Lord, that we would just know that what a joyful thing it is that You would die on the cross for us, Lord. That You would give Your life for us. Lord, and we just thank You. And Lord, I just ask that You be with the rest of the service, and I ask You to be with us the rest of this week. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Rock Podcast. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, why don't you come by and meet us sometime? We'd love to have you. Even if you're not, we welcome you to our extended Rock family. feel free to connect with us at rochurch.org, rockchurch.org. There you'll find information, service times, directions, links to our social feeds, information on our programs, and anything else you might need. If you have a comment on this podcast, feel free to drop us a line. And thanks again for listening.